there came a point where I made the decision to stop working outside of business hours cold turkey, because I had a really bad habit to break and something had to change. And so I went to a 40-hour work week. And at that point, when I made that change, I thought, okay, I'm just going to tank my career. I loved what I did. I was doing, like, you know, seen as a high performer, did well in it, but I'll just tank that so I have more time and space for my family. And I got my personal time back. I started to feel better. And the unexpected thing that happened is I also started to perform even better.
You are listening to the Culture Coach Podcast. This is the place where CEOs and people-first leaders come to boost productivity, extinguish burnout, and cultivate a vibrant culture that reflects a fully integrated mission, vision, and core values. Get ready to take your culture to the next level. I am your host, Wendy Brand. Welcome back. This week, my guest is Stacy Olson. Stacy is a leadership and positive psychology certified coach with more than 15 years of corporate and business experience. She works with leaders and teams who want to create more balance, stress less, and perform even better. Stacy is the founder of the Balanced Leader Program. She offers coaching, workshops, speaking, and is the author of Your Balanced and Bold Life, Work Less, Live More, and Be Your Best. As you are building your teams and building your business, I know the grind that it requires and how easy it is to become so narrowly focused on work. A few weeks ago, we heard from Shane Spraggs, and the topic was different, but we were talking about how to engage employees, focusing on their intrinsic motivation, and how that motivation is essential for fostering engagement and enhancing performance across our workplace. You may want to go back and listen to that episode. Don't go right now, but I'll put the link in the show notes. It was episode 061 if you want to go back and listen to that episode with Shane. But as owners, CEOs, or leaders that feel like they are living their purpose by doing the work that they do, we often need to be reminded to take breaks and set boundaries. I know for me, I'm in the thick of it as we speak. I have a vision for my business and I could literally work morning till night without taking a break. I'm just in that phase of my business. I love it. But I know that I will not be successful if I do not live a more balanced life. Now, it won't be completely balanced. It just can't be completely lopsided. And I know this from lived experience. But I thought our guest today would be a good fit for this topic to remind us all how to unlock our fear of setting boundaries. I hope you enjoy the episode. Okay, welcome back. Stacy, I'm so excited that you're joining us on the episode today. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. So I'm really excited for this conversation because I think we both may have had a bit of a similar experience. But tell me a little bit about your journey, and then I want to hear about the book, and tell me a little bit about how you got here.
Yeah, I do think we had that similar path. I was in my corporate career, working 60, 70, 80 hour work weeks, three kids at home. And there are a few things that led to me making a pretty big shift while I was still in my corporate career that I talk about in the book. But it got to the point where it was really starting to affect my connection and relationship with my husband, kids. And so it took some time, but there came a point where I made the decision to stop working outside of business hours cold turkey, because I had a really bad habit to break and something had to change. And so I went to a 40-hour work week. And at that point, when I made that change, I thought, okay, I'm just going to tank my career. I loved what I did. I was doing, like, you know, seen as a high performer, did well in it, but I'll just tank that so I have more time and space for my family. And I got my personal time back. I started to feel better. And the unexpected thing that happened is I also started to perform even better.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a promotion and I was more focused and I learned how to prioritize better. And I learned how to say no in a way that kept my relationship strong. And it really started to open my eyes up to, okay, there is the path here. Now, it was still hard and I had to work on the worry, you know, what will people think, that I talk about in the book as well, but it really opened my eyes, to that better path there. And when I left my corporate career, I was really driven by the question, which aligns with the work you do, is how do we be our best, even with all the demands and expectations? Because they're not going away. So how do we thrive and show up as our best in that, both in our work and in our home life and for ourselves? And so that's really led to the work that I do to help leaders and teams to be more balanced and less stressed and still do great work.
That is amazing.
I'd be burned out. I swear I'd be a burned out business owner if I did not learn those things and still apply it today.
Yeah, you have to learn it either way, right? Mm-hmm. I think I love that you were able to do that still in your corporate career. I stepped out and still hadn't learned it and realized very quickly that I was putting myself through the same thing, just even when I was in control of my hours, right? And in control of my own business. So your book, Your Balanced and Bold Life, Work Less, Live More, and Be Your Best. Tell me about the book.
Yes, it's the book I needed all those years ago. It's the book I need today. And it really came from, you know, I do a lot of coaching with clients and just their struggles, challenges, what's worked for people, blogs I've done in the past, just what's really helped me and others on this journey. I wanted to create something in a book. So I share my own personal stories and messy lessons in it, so people know they're not alone and there is that path forward, and then offer strategies, practical advice, but it's also written a way to help people figure out what it looks like for them. Because boundaries, values, priorities, that's going to look different for different people. And so there's not this one size fits all, or this is the answer to have balance in your life. It is getting more self-aware and more clear on what really matters to you, what boundaries help you feel and be your best. What are your true priorities? What to say no to so you can say yes to those things that matter more? And then another part is like calming your busy mind. Because that's one thing I talk about in the book is you can have the best boundaries in the world, but if you're still stressing about and worrying about work all the time, and that's what I learned after my corporate career, you're not going to feel very balanced. And so just wanted to create something to help others on that journey and figure out what it looks like for them and feel inspired to create the change. And I'll also add, I think a lot of times we're, you know, told, say no, create boundaries, be present. We're not really shown how to do it. Like, we're just kind of expected to know how to do it. And so I wanted to bridge that gap. So this is how you can do it in some simple ways. But again, really in a way that helps the reader figure out what will work for them.
That's so exciting. I think, and it too, it's a book I wish I would have had just a couple years ago. And you mentioned this when you talked about, like, when you went ahead and set those boundaries for yourself while you were still in your corporate career, but the fears that you had around that, you just assume you were just tanking your career. And that's why I didn't set the boundaries that I knew that I needed, because that fear of not being perceived as that high achiever anymore, or feeling like I wouldn't get the promotion, or I'd be demoted because I wasn't, you know, churning at the level that I typically do. So tell us, or can you give us any tips on, for anyone who may be listening that may be feeling in that place of wanting to set boundaries, knowing that it's important, but not sure just how to do it?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I can talk about the boundaries. A big part of this is also shifting perspective and a more empowering belief around it. And so I didn't know this at the time when I put those boundaries in place, but in a lot of my work, and we can be more effective when we work less, because when we feel better, we perform better. And we prioritize better when we have some constraints around our time. So boundaries don't not only protect your time and energy, they also force you to make better decisions on what you say yes and what you say no to. And there's a lot of science and research that supports that when we work more than 40 to 50 hours, and there's new research coming out even less, it's like our productivity goes down. Mm-hmm. And so it can feel like you're doing a lot, but you're not, you're taking on more effort to get the same result. So there's that that's what helps me stay the course today, even with my business, is just this knowing this belief that there is this path where and proven that we perform better when we feel happier and we take care of our well-being and have some constraints. Now, how to figure out those boundaries? You know, there's some things like having an end time in place or putting some time in your calendar. A lot of, especially in the corporate world, a lot of people are in meetings all day long and don't give yourself space to focus and think and make decisions. And so giving some space in your calendar, what I help a lot of clients with and an exercise in the book is just thinking about what a great day or week is for you. Like, look in the past few months, it's like, what's a day or week where you had a genuinely good feeling, you feel like you accomplished some things, you feel good at the end of the week? And if you don't have one of those examples, what would your optimal week look like? And that starts to give you some clues. What are some boundaries that work for you? And a lot of times having an end time to your work is really helpful. You know, some people also like flexibility, but when you don't have that end time, work tends to spill over and there will always be more that you can do. And that's another mindset shift, just embracing, like, there'll always be more, because as soon as you get caught up, there'll be more to do. So when you can just accept that, it can be very freeing. Like, I'm not going to get it all done. So how do I get done the things that matter most and then be okay to let go or say no or delegate to some of those other things?
Yeah. And you mentioned the word priorities, which is really what you're talking about there, right? What are the, how do you prioritize what's important and let go of the rest?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Awesome. And then you also said, you said boundaries, priorities, and values. So tell me how you use, how values are important in this process.
Yes. Well, a big part when I talk about creating balance in your life is this is your life. And this is, you know, what's going to leave you feeling fulfilled and that you're showing up with people in the way you want and living and leading with your values, which is a chapter in the book. I mean, that's foundational to anything, to being a great leader, to creating balance, to being resilient, to thriving, aligning with your values. But when you can get more in tune with your values and what really matters to you and have that clarity, it's like your compass, and it can start to help guide your choices. And we tend to feel more inner conflict and stress when we are not aligned with our values and showing up in that way. And so one value for me back when I made this change was my family. That was important. And achievement was also important to me. But my actions did not reflect that my family or even my value of kindness, because I was burned out and overwhelmed and grumpy. And, you know, impatience is often a cue when we're out of balance and have too much on our plate. And so I wasn't aligned with that. But when you can just get in tune with your values and start to look for, okay, how do my actions reflect this? How do they not? No judgment. Don't be hard on yourself. Just look at it. And then you can start to use that to guide your choices in your day to day. And even if you're feeling, you know, overwhelmed at the end of the day and losing your patience, to pause and step back. It's like, is this a reflection of who I want to be? And if not, how can I make a choice that is? And I really see values as foundational because, again, they guide your choices, but they're also what can help give you that inner conviction to follow through. And so when I followed through on those boundaries, that's because I wanted to honor that value of my family, which is kind of involved more today about being present with people. But that's a really foundational piece of it, being in tune with it and then aligning our actions with that.
That's great. I do a similar exercise with clients in order to just determine what their values are. Like, and you've probably done this with clients too, give them a list of values. They prioritize and select maybe what their top five are. But then there is that kind of, now, great, I've prioritized these as my top values, but how am I living these values? Like, 1 out of 10, you know? And it's kind of eye-opening, you typically. And I know it was for me the first time I did the exercise of just, you know, first understanding what your values are, but then realizing that you're not always living true to them. The other place that I think that values are important, one of the reasons that there's a book by Christine Maslach, who wrote The Burnout Challenge. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Mm-hmm. And one of the six things that she's identified that causes burnout is a values mismatch between the employee and the employer. And so I think it's great when employees, when we can determine and kind of identify what our values are and then compare it with, you know, what are the core values of that organization, if they're truly living them and they're not just a poster on the wall, but really, what does that company stand for? And if there's a mismatch there, it can also cause that internal conflict as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Let's talk more about calming your busy mind. What are some tips that you provide in the book for how to calm your mind?
Yeah, that's a very real challenge. And out of like all the stuff, like I'm great at boundaries. I'm great at saying no, great prioritizing the managing the worry and being present. That's still a daily and intention for me to do it. And so I share several different strategies. A lot around is building mindfulness and doing simple things that help to focus your attention. So I talk about our attention as a flashlight. And so even if you're like, if you worry a lot, if you're worrying about work, your attention's actually pretty strong. It's just focused on all the worries and the things that could go wrong and what will people think. And so as we build our attention muscle and strengthen that, you're able to move the flashlight. And so there's a beam from a flashlight. You're the one that regulates that. You're the one that gets to choose where you shine the flashlight. So when you can notice, and we can't notice every thought or always where our attention is, but if you pay attention to how you feel, if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're feeling frustrated, where's your attention? What is it on? Because we are where our attention is. And then noticing can make a big difference and just observe it without judgment. And then, okay, well, what would be a better way to move my attention? And you can move it to the present moment. You know, let's say I'm talking to you and my mind starts, what is she thinking? What? Bring my attention back to focusing on you and having the conversation. It could be, you know, if you're meditating, it could be on your breath. It could be, and I talk about some simple daily routines that we can build or strengthen our attention. It can be as simple as, like for me, when I learned this, I chose an activity of reading my kids a bedtime story. Because often they would be reading me a story and my mind would think about everything to do tomorrow or coming up. And so for me, that was, okay, be fully present doing this with my kids. And then my mind would wander. And that's one thing I say is like, when your mind wanders, that's a good thing when you notice. You became present when you notice. And that's your opportunity to shine your flashlight back to the present moment. And the more you do that, the more you strengthen your attention and it gets easier to be present. And the more present we are, the less stressed we are. And so that's how I talk about calming busy mind. Another thing, because guilt is a very big, especially with saying no, feeling guilty. And so it can get easier to let go of the guilt when you focus on what you're saying yes to instead. And so the clearer you are in your values and your boundaries and your priorities, it gets easier than if you say no to something. Ideally, you're saying no to someone or something, not because you don't care about them. You're saying no so you can say yes to something that is more important, because there's always, we only have so much time and attention, and there's always a choice and trade-off in there. And so what helps a lot of my clients is when they get clear on their priorities and say no to something, focus on what you're saying yes to instead. And it's like, oh, I might be saying no to this event, but I'm saying yes to recharging myself. Or you might be saying no to a last minute request at the end of the day. So you can say yes to making it home at supper on time, and it can just feel more empowering, and that, you know, can help quiet, turn down the volume on the guilt.
Yeah, that's so great. And I think just such a universal application as well. My son is a senior in college and he came home for a week, school let out, and I was driving him back to the airport and he was just expressing just the anxiety he was feeling as he was going to get back on the plane to go back to school. And I was like, First of all, I'm thinking in my mind, like, you're a senior in college, you're living your best life. Like, what could you possibly feel anxious about? But he expressed, you know, he's like, well, I only have one more year left. I just don't have an internship. I don't know what I'm going to be, you know? And I'm like, okay, let's just stop for a second. And what can you control right now? Like, what, let's just bring it back to present day. It's 1 week into the summer after your junior year, like, you know? And so I think, it's so important for us as adults, but even for our kids, you know, finding that presence. And so also, as we think about our leaders and organizations, and, you know, that there, we have a responsibility as individuals to not burn out, like to know what we can do to control our own energy, priorities, boundaries. But for leaders, do you have any guidance for how they can best serve their employees and create an environment for their employees to thrive?
That's a great question. So one, like, leaders have a really big impact on their team's well-being and mental health and even what focusing on. And so one, taking care of yourself as a leader, because we show up for others in a better way when we take care of ourselves. And so that's an important part of it, but also understanding that you set the tone, you set the example. And so if you want your team to not burn themselves out, you don't burn yourself out. Mm-hmm. If you want them to prioritize their time better and focus on the right things and delegate what they need to delegate, you do that too. And so, you know, understanding that you have a role not only supporting your employees, but you also play a really huge role by leading by example, and people watch you, and people, like, even, you know, I think leadership is a lot like parenting. I think parenting is leadership 101. I found, and even your kids are watching you, your team is watching you. And I don't say that to put on pressure, but just to understand that you set an example for people as well. And that also, you know, part of creating like thriving and creating better well-being and less burnout, that also comes with shifting how we approach our work. Mm-hmm. It's not just, you know, take your weekend stuff. It's like really shifting how do we approach our work, and are we focused on the right things, and feeling empowered to say no or let go of some things that aren't really the best use of time, and just starting to, instead of the traditional, we work harder and harder and harder and working hard, that, you know, I think I work hard. My definition of working hard is very different these days than it used to be, but just not this push, push, push and go, well, how can we really, like, set up a sustainable, effective, enjoyable environment for us to thrive in? And so, yeah, I would say take care of yourselves, understand that you lead by example and you set the tone, and then really being open to looking at, like, how do we shift how we approach our work so we can take care of our well-being and be effective in what we do.
That's beautiful and so important. One thing that I've noticed that I've had to retrain my brain in the corporate world, and even when I first came home and started my business, I would spend so much time in preparation for things, like, just like in the corporate world, in preparation for a meeting, in preparation for just over preparing, I guess, maybe worried about, maybe it was a perfectionism thing. And I found myself doing that in my own business as well. And then when I stopped and realized that, I mean, yes, it's okay to think through and try to create the best product, you still can just trust yourself that you're going to, like, in preparation for this interview. When I first started the podcast, I would spend hours in preparation, but I was like, I want this to be a fun, creative part of my world. And if I'm spending hours preparing and stressing over it, then it loses its, I don't know, the form of creativity that it is meant to be. And so I think just realizing too, back to your awareness piece, just being aware of where we are putting our attention and our focus and things that maybe create stress and shifting.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And also understanding when, again, when you're clear on what the real priorities are, you know, maybe something does need more preparation. Maybe it's a really important meeting, first time you're doing it, and it does require more effort for you. And you have that time to prep. But there's a lot of things to spend time on that is not the most important thing and takes way more time and energy. And I hear you. I used to prepare for stuff like on podcasts like this. I would spend hours before too. And it's like, I don't even know what questions are going to come up. So too. And so it's just really being mindful of like, how do I use my time and energy in the best way? Knowing we're all human and sometimes we are going to waste it, or we're going to like spend too much time on a presentation perfecting it because we might get just right.
Right.
But that's where boundaries come in as well. Because when you do have better boundaries, say between your work and your personal time, you're going to make better decisions how you spend it. And so as I learned to use my time more effectively when I had boundaries, it was like, well, I don't have hours to perfect the font on this presentation. You know, that's being a little extreme, but because I took away the option, like I would stay up till midnight and doing something where now it was like, we have an hour, let's make it the best we can make it in the hour. And we're going to go with it and trust. And then one other quick thing I just want to add that ties with the being present piece is that if you're someone who wants to have more time and energy for what does really matter, is that we have no idea how much time and energy and attention we spend on overthinking our every move or worrying about something that happened in the past that we cannot change, and or complaining about something. And so part of being present and less stressed and learning that is we also start to use our time and energy in a better way. And so when you said focus on what you can control, that's a huge one for me. Even today, I've had so many things this week that are going wrong, and just stepping, and, you know, I had a moment, we all have bad moments, but just stepping back and going, okay, what's in my control and what is not. And I really view that as like, I can put my energy and attention into these things that are outside of my control, or I can shift that into, well, what can I do? What can I focus on? Can I just enjoy my evening to recharge myself instead of stressing about something that I cannot change anyways? And so that's a huge part of being more balanced and using your time and energy, is just as you're more present, you use your time and energy in a better way as well. Mm-hmm. That way.
Love that. Awesome. Well, we've talked about mindfulness, boundaries. Any other pieces that you want to share?
Well, the thing when you asked that just popped into my mind is we can do all these good things that help set us up, but then also learning in the moment when you're feeling overwhelmed and when it plows up or pops up. And so I used to, when I felt overwhelmed, that to me was like, work harder, push harder. And now I do the exact opposite. If I start to feel overwhelmed, I slow it down. It's like, take a deep breath. Okay, what do I really need right now? Or do I need to take something off my plate? Or do I just need to focus on the task at hand? And so just want to leave that for your listeners as well, is that the overwhelm, you can step out of it. And it comes with being more self-aware and paying attention and, you know, taking some things off your plate. But also when it comes up in the moment, instead of plowing through and pushing harder, use that as a moment to just slow down for a moment and even check in with yourself. What do I really need? Because when you can start to honor that in the moment, or, you know, maybe you need a break and you have a big meeting and you can't do it, but you can do it in an hour or something. When you start to honor that, you're overwhelmed for, you know, a few minutes or a morning instead of day after day after day. And so I just wanted to offer that as well.
That's great advice. I think it seems counterintuitive sometimes to not just push through, but I really like that advice and that guidance. Awesome. Well, I'm excited for your book. When this airs, I believe your book will be out, Your Balanced and Bold Life, Work Less, Live More, and Be Your Best. And where can people find you, find your book?
Yeah. So the book will be on Amazon. You can also go to my website, stacyolson.ca, and information is there, and the book will be there as well. And I'd love you pick it up. I love hearing from people. So, you know, send me a note, let me know what you take away from it or a question on your mind.
Fantastic. Well, Stacey, thank you so much for being here with us today. It was great to have you.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
What a great episode. Okay, here are my takeaways. Number one, finding balance in your life is not a one-size-fits-all. It's about having awareness and getting really clear on what matters to you, and then determining what boundaries make you feel your best. Number two, noticing where your attention is a great first step. The more present we are, the less stressed we are. Number three, shift your perspective for a more empowering belief. We can actually be more effective when we work less. Boundaries force you to make better decisions on what you say yes or no to. Number four, make sure you have an end time in place or block time on your calendar to simply focus and think. There will always be more to do. Number five, think about what a great day or week is for you and use that as a template to create the ideal day or week. Number six, living and leading with your values is foundational for many things. Being a great leader, creating balance, being resilient, and thriving. Number seven, focus on what you're saying yes to instead of what you're saying no to when you're setting boundaries, and that can really help you remove the guilt. Number eight, we show up for others in a better way when we take care of ourselves. As leaders, we have a role not in just supporting our employees, but in leading by example. Number nine, we spend so much time focused on the past. Focus on what you can control. Put your energy and attention on the things that you can control. Number 10, learn to understand when you're feeling overwhelmed and slow it down. Don't use that as a signal to speed up, but rather taking the time to step out of the overwhelm and check in with what you really need. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If it was something you needed to hear, take action today and set some boundaries. Follow some of the guidelines and steps that were provided. I'm going to give you access to the link on Amazon where you can find her book, Your Balanced and Bold Life, Work Less, Live More, and Be Your Best, and how you can connect with Stacey on LinkedIn. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next week.